when police officers are called in to handle mental health crises, sometimes things can go terribly wrong. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Dialing 911 can be dangerous, even deadly, and that's especially true for people of color who are more likely to be killed by police. Another risk factor? Having a mental illness. It's why many are so hopeful about the nationwide rollout of a new three-digit mental health crisis number, 988. But success is going to depend on getting as many mental health calls as possible deflected from 911 to the trained mental health professionals over at 988. To learn more about this, I'm joined by Christine Herman from Side Effects Public Media. Christine, you've been doing some reporting on this out of Kentucky. What's happening there?
Yeah, so I've been talking with this guy, Mike Sunseri. He's with the Kentucky 911 Services Board. And he spent the past couple years trying to make sure that 911 and 988 can essentially talk to each other. Thing is, there are way more call centers for 911 than 988, like order of magnitude. So Mike's pretty focused on one thing. He needs to figure out how to make sure that all these 911 call centers, when they get mental health calls coming in, are able to do a warm handoff to the folks over at the nearest 988 center.
So what we've been trying to do with our colleagues in 988 is help establish a set of guidelines. So essentially like a phone tree. If a caller calls with this situation and this action happens, then is it appropriate to continue the call with 911, or would the call be better served with 988?
People who answer 911 calls are used to thinking in terms of three buckets: fire, ambulance, or police. And the new protocols will add a fourth bucket, mental health.
That sounds super straightforward, Christine. Ideally, how would this all work?
Mike's got his eyes on California, which he says is a few steps ahead of the game in doing this kind of work. And places like Austin, Texas, where they've figured out how to route calls seamlessly without putting people on hold, which is super important in a moment that could be life or death. And that type of seamless coordination of 911 and 988, it may be more feasible in larger cities that have more resources. There are at least a few places in Kentucky, cities like Owensboro and Louisville, that are taking steps in this direction. It's going to be trickier to pull off in some of the more rural parts of the state.
What else does Mike think might get in the way of 911 and 988 talking to each other?
Mike says there's also questions about liability. If 911 passes a call off to 988 and then they lose knowledge of what happens to the caller and then there's a bad outcome, that's a huge concern. Another factor is money. Many places, including Kentucky, have yet to set up a sustainable funding source for 988, like how 911 has, let alone have extra cash for technology upgrades that might help with some of this.
Christine, based on your reporting, do you get the sense whether Kentucky's going to be able to pull off this kind of cohesion between 911 and 988?
Well, it's hard to know. The good news is that Kentucky is doing something that other states are struggling with. State officials there are confident they've got the capacity to answer all or most of the calls that are going to come in. And Mike says the coordination of 911 and 988 has been part of the 988 preparations in Kentucky from the very beginning, and some of it's starting to happen. That said, Dan, there's no formal timetable, and it's clear that this will not be up and running across the entire state by the time the line goes live.
Christine Herman is with Side Effects Public Media. For more from Christine's Side Effects colleagues on how states across the Midwest are preparing for 988, check out our full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.